Ian McIntyre joins us now, our triple threat or quadruple threat to some. You see him on TV, as you will tonight. You read his stuff, as you should have last night and this morning. And you hear him now on Canucks Central. Hi, Mac. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I'm cutting my grass.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing. We can talk to you then.
Well, it's a beautiful day. I have the afternoon free. A game tonight. No skates this morning. It's a good time to cut the grass. You know, rained for a couple of days. Now it's dry. It's beautiful out here in sunny Steveston. So,
now, are you one of those guys who has that lawn that reminds people of Wembley? You know, you could go play soccer on it. No,
I'm so not that guy. We believe, Craig, in an organic lawn.
All right.
So every weed known to mankind is happy at my house.
Nice.
But the funny thing is, because we've been in the house about 15 years now, and we bought it because we loved the yard and the neighborhood and stuff. Old house, whatever.
Yeah.
Every house around us, except one, has been knocked down, and including the ones across the street, have been knocked down and rebuilt. You know, I have firsthand evidence of the housing boom and in my neighborhood. But all these beautiful lawns that have been put in, at some point, almost all of them have been consumed by raccoons and crows. And
yeah,
my lawn...
What's the deal with that? It's terrible.
My lawn has gone untouched.
How? Okay, what is your secret?
Well, I think the secret is it's an organic lawn. You know, it was planted in the 70s when the house was built, and no one has torn it up and laid sod down since. And so many of the new houses, they have sod put down. And for some reason, it's an easier target. So, yeah, my lawn may not be the lushest. It may not be the cleanest, but at least it doesn't have holes in it from the raccoons. This is fascinating listening, isn't it, for the audience?
Well, you know, I'm staring outside of a window right now, so I can't hear what's going on the outside. But hearing, like, the mower go in the background, to me, it's just like you're really bringing out the spirit of summer right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
You see, iMac, Bick, though, missed the opening there. You talk about holes in it, and that was the perfect segue to the Canucks lineup.
Yes,
right,
he did.
Now.
Well, like, he's still learning.
See, yes,
that's why he's working
learning.
With the boss.
That's right.
The boss has things to teach him.
No, Bick, look, the modern way of doing things is not pointing out the segue that you should have made, right? Like, the worst segue is making a good segue and then pointing out what a great segue it is.
trying to have fun. I mean, the Canucks got 10 games to go. It's like a funeral procession. We got to have fun while we have a chance, don't we?
Yep, gardening tips. We could give them golfing tips because they're going to be doing that pretty soon, too. Yeah. Yes.
You know, I'm not growing potatoes this year. I've given up. Got a big vegetable garden. I've always grown potatoes, but the yield gets smaller and smaller, and so I'm giving up. We extra
all
onions
right.
and garlic this year.
I'm going to do the professional thing and move on in this scenario. we were talking earlier, me and C-Mac, just, you know, what was evident last night is, and look, there's the schedule, the COVID issue, all that sort of stuff, but what's been evident is the team speed. There is a massive gap and I guess some skill as well. Now, you're missing Elias Pettersson, understandably, but for this timeline, that the supposed timeline of, hey, 2 years to, you know, be competitive, it feels like that's almost a little bit of wishful thinking to where this team needs to get to.
Yeah. If I was Jim, I would have said 3 years and 10 months and bought myself another year and a bit. I think, and of course, it was bound to happen when the question was answered. I think people are making too much of the 2 years. We don't know what next season is going to look like, and they certainly don't look like they're going to be a championship team in 2 years. But the issue of team speed is a very legitimate one and has been an ongoing one. And it's something I think they've tried to address, you know, bit by bit. Nate Schmidt, whose season has been okay, has been great, has been terrible. I don't know if it's been $6 million good, but is certainly a guy who skates and gets up and down the ice better than some people they've had in the past. But up front, you know, they still have such a long way to go. Of course, Edler has lost a step and a half So yeah, team speed is an issue, but I think that's kind of reflected in why they're taking a chance on Matthew Highmore, because he skates like Tyler Mott. We haven't seen him play like Tyler Mott, although he hasn't played badly. It'd be nice if he could collect a point as a Canuck at some point. But, I mean, he's faster than the guys that they've had. And Jimmy Vesey, the one thing he seems to do well is get around the ice. So it's an ongoing thing. And it is, when you see them against really good teams like Toronto and like most of the Edmonton lineup, that speed deficiency is pretty obvious.
And Ian, you outlined quite obviously, excellently, whatever you want to say last night about the bottom six and their lack of point production. But is that a function of the fact that, you know, these guys are not all reclamation projects, but a lot of them are, and they're trying to find that diamond in the rough, and they don't necessarily, with a Sutter out or even a Beagle who hasn't really produced offensively, those guys are, you know, solid, have an NHL career, a pedigree, and a lot of these other guys are kind of these, we're going to take them off the scrap heap and try and find something. Is that what we can see and why those point totals have been so hard to come by at the bottom six for them?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, the Canucks are giving people an opportunity because they can. And the reason they can is because the team has underperformed, and now it's significantly injured up front. And although Elias Pettersson is the only guy from the top six, essentially their entire bottom six is gone. I mean, depending on whether you want to say that Zach McEwen is a regular, and he was kind of in and out of the lineup early on. Jace Howerluck didn't play for the first, whatever it was, month. So they've basically, if you're looking at top six, bottom six, well, the Canucks are under third six now for the guys at the bottom of the lineup. So in that respect, it shouldn't be surprising, even if it is costly, that they've had so little offense from them. I mean, I actually had to check it about three times to make sure that VC and Boyd, who feel like they've been here a while now, because they were acquired, you know, pre-COVID crisis, and Matthew Highmore, and the trade deadline April 12th, that seems so long ago now. But these guys combined haven't had a point, not one point. And they're not playing, you know, 6 or 8 minutes. In VC's case, for a while he averaged 18 till Travis Green started taking him out of the lineup. So they need more from that group, obviously. And that is where, in my mind, the biggest reconstruction or construction left to do exists. They have to fill out the lineup. They've done a good job of getting some core pieces. And there's one or two more on the way. Pod Colson is going to be an excellent player for them. Hoglander showed up better than anybody thought he'd be this year. Maybe before the end of the season we get a chance to see Jack Rathbone and whether he is ready to play at this level. And if he is ready to play at this level, it's probably not as a 10 or 12 minute guy because of his toolkit. So they do have these good pieces. They just have to make the team better and deeper around them. And I know the frustrating part of that is it's kind of been that way for a couple of years, and we're still waiting to see it get deeper and better. But we know that they've been stuck with some onerous contracts, which are coming off the books en masse this year and next. So they'll have a little more freedom. But that's where the work still lies, is in building out the roster. And that's why I guess I'm not as bleak about their future as some people, because I've seen years where they didn't have the core pieces. Now they have the core pieces, or at least some of them, most of them. Now they have to build out. And those guys should be easier to find and to build out with than the core pieces. So we'll see about next year. The year after, I wouldn't be planning any Stanley Cup parades, but you never know. You know, nobody thought they'd be as good as they were last year. Nobody thought they'd be as bad as they are this year. Who knows what next year is going to be?
You mentioned a name there with Rathbone, and you know, look, there's a demand to see all these different faces right now, and you know, you
demand
think
from whom, Vic?
From fans.
Oh, okay. Yep, I agree.
To see new different faces, obviously.
Right.
But you think the logistics of how to? Yeah. Yeah, because it's untapped potential. It's the mystery box. You don't know. But you think the logistics of how to get him into the lineup? Well, Quinn Hughes isn't coming out. You probably aren't going to sit Alex Edler just for legacy reasons. And so it's Yule Levy is the guy that's come out. But if you want to play kids, you just want to play a different kid. And Yule Levy hasn't played bad enough to warrant coming out of the lineup. It's so tough to get a guy like Jack Rathbone in the lineup right now.
Right. Unless they were going to play him on the right side, which probably isn't fair for a guy who's never played a minute in the NHL. It wouldn't surprise me if Edler does come out at some point. You know, they have these back-to-backs. We know how debilitating their schedule is. We also know Edler's age. Wouldn't surprise me, but I think between now and the end of the year, circumstances will arise that will allow him to play. But what you're describing, Vic, is that not, assuming that these guys develop and become regular players, let's not say stars or put unreasonable expectation on them, but let's just say that Yule Levy and Rathbone become NHL players. Well, this is what you're going to have to sort through for years to come, because they play the left side and so does Quinn Hughes. So essentially, is that going to be your left side? If Edler leaves, and I think there's still a chance that Edler will sign for a year to come back at a much lower rate. But if he leaves, do you need someone with more experience on the left side, and how do you fit them in? I mean, this is always the issue. Whether you have young guys pushing to play or you just have a really good team and there's not enough ice for everybody, it's a problem that at some point you want to have. You don't want it to be like, you know, 4 years ago where you could just show up and play, you know, 20 minutes a night on defense. I mean, there was, if I'm not mistaken, Troy Stetcher was named the Canucks' top defenseman 1 year. And Ben Hutton was named the top defenseman another year. And these guys are, you know, these guys are NHL players, and Troy, I'm less convinced of Ben than Troy, but Ben has done fine so far. He's bounced around a bit, but he's building a career. Troy's going to be in the league for a bunch of years. But, you know, that was, their entry was a reflection of how weak the Canucks were at the time and how much opportunity there was. Now the opportunity is a little harder to come by, but you still have to find a way to see what you've got. So I think between now and the end of the year, we're going to see Rathbone play. I don't know how much. I don't know who's coming out, but I think we're going to see him.
Do you think, though, too, Ian, not only do you want to see what you got, but do you not have to protect a young player a little bit, too? And by that, I mean, yeah, you throw them in the deep end, you see how they do, but you don't want to ruin someone's confidence. It's very difficult to play at this level. We've seen, you know, Cole Lynn admirably skate up and down the ice against some of the top players in the world the last few games, but at times he looks like he's just barely treading water. At times he looks okay. To throw a defenseman in, does it have to not be a little bit more of an optimal situation, or do you just let him go and see where he's at, and can you really get a gauge when he's not being protected or paired with something it's going to help him out as opposed to expose his weaknesses at this level?
Yeah, well, I think optimal is at a sidewalk cafe somewhere having a Negroni right now, because it hasn't been optimal around here for a while. And you make a very good point, Craig. Yes, and especially with young players, but any player, look at how much they tried with Adam Gaudette, Travis Green did, to find just the kind of a soft spot where they can play him, try to let his offensive skills develop, but not let his defensive deficiencies hurt him too much. For every player, you want to find a position where they can succeed. and nothing is too much for them, and they're not going to lose their confidence. But the situation the Canucks are in now, I just don't think that's possible. You know, there's just too much that has happened to this team. There's too many guys out of the lineup from a team that we know wasn't going to be good enough anyways. You know, a team that still has to get better, and now they've lost a bunch of guys from that lineup, and that's why I say they're on to their, not their, their bottom six. They're now on their third six at forward. I just don't think it's possible to protect players the way staff and management would like to, ideally. It's a great concept, and I'm sure to some degree they'll still try to do it. I'm sure you ask Travis. He's been trying to keep an eye on Cole Lind and make sure he doesn't get overwhelmed. And at times last night, I thought that was Cole's quietest game. We saw that he wasn't getting out on the ice with the same guys and was playing a few shifts less. So, yeah, you would, in an ideal world, it would be great if everything was so structured and solid around these guys, so when they came in, you could specifically target certain minutes against certain guys and do everything you can to help them succeed. I just think the team is in too weak a spot right now to do that.
Ian, you know it's bad when we're getting a lot more lawn-related texts than hockey-related texts.
Hey, and there's a good one here from Shiloh. Shiloh says that the lawn will get ripped up if the beetle grub growth is in it. So that's what the raccoons and crows are after.
Right. No, I agree with that. Growth. But I think the newer lawns, the sodded lawns, are probably more susceptible to the beetle infestation or the grub infestation.
And hey, I got another question. Why aren't the boys cutting the lawn? What are you doing cutting it?
Yeah, that's the other question.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. Well, I'm picky about my lawn. So I actually enjoy cutting it. I know that sounds crazy. Love cutting the grass.
You're picky about it, but you don't put it like a pattern in it?
Oh, I do. And I cut different directions because you don't want the grass all growing the same way. So I try to remember, what did I do last time? Go 45 degrees opposite. But no, I do have work for the boys at times, but the older one has enjoyed his 4 days off after university, and he's now starting his summer job, which feels a lot like university because he's in his room all day on his computer. That's his summer job. And the younger one's just kind of taking it easy because he just finished finals as well.
Who says you're not into analytics, tracking all your grass cutting and everything like that?
And no one should say I'm not into analytics.
No, I know. Ian, thank you very much. We'll hear you tonight on the postgame show.
I wouldn't miss it. See you guys.
Ian McIntyre. He's his latest from last night's game up at sportsnet.ca. And, of course, we'll be posting another one later today. And you can hear him with Sat and Randeep on the postgame show this evening.